Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome back. Did you miss us? You missed us.
We missed you.
It's okay.
So I edited this podcast. Nope. I edited the last podcast faster than I normally, so it feels like so long since we've been here, but in reality, it's like the exact same amount of time in between recording a podcast.
Yeah.
Good times.
Actually, it's one day later because we waited.
One day.
We waited one whole day.
If you're not in the United States, yesterday was Thanksgiving, which should be things taken because
it was Thursday.
It was a Thursday. I ate a little bit more food than normal. And there were people that raped and pillaged many years ago. So lots to celebrate there.
Yeah. Love America. So fun.
Good stuff.
So good.
Support your native and indigenous businesses this holiday season.
Yeah. Do that thing.
Anyway. We're so excited, as always. Always lots of excitement when it comes to the pod and sharing with you many exciting moments. Remember how we said we were always going to be changing up the format? Well, we're keeping with that. We're going back to a few weeks ago. So Anna and I each have two hat picks, and we have a shared number one, and it's going to be great. I'm going to kick us off like you do in soccer, you know. Here's a fun fact. If you never watch soccer, they put the ball in the center of the field, and then there's a kickoff at the first half and the second half. So I'm going to do that, but for the podcast.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, maybe you should watch the soccer game so you can understand a little bit more of what we're talking about.
Grateful for your listenership, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so kicking us off, my hat pick number three for this week is a Natasha Harding goal in the Reading versus Everton game way back on November 15th. Feels like a lifetime ago.
An eon.
Correct. That is the correct amount of time. Or like almost 2 weeks ago. So anyway, Natasha Harding plays for Reading. And I don't know if you all listened to the last podcast that we had, but Anna mentioned a one Jess Fishlock on the last podcast. Yeah. And so there, Jess Fishlock gets this ball. She catches a volley and sends it way the beep up field to Harding, who just makes an excellent, I'm trying to cuss less, makes an excellent run down the right side of the pitch. And she gets to like just outside of the 18, and Harding sends a floater to the back of the left net. Like, if you're looking at it at first glance, it just kind of appears to be a cross. Like, I'm almost 100% sure that she actually meant for it to be a goal, but it was beautiful. It was an excellent, excellent ball. I mean, like, it was any goal that you make outside of the 18 is impressive. That's like a long way for anybody to shoot. And with that kind of accuracy, like, it didn't like bump off the post. Like, it was like
a goal.
Yeah. It was intended to go in and it went in. It was great. I would also be remiss if I did not mention the Wales connection there. So, Natasha Harding, 31 years old, pretty experienced player, doing dope stuff all the time everywhere. From Wales, Jess Fishlock, also from Wales, the captain of the Welsh national team.
Yes, she is.
Yes, I knew that and didn't have to look at Anna to confirm as I said that. So very cool to have both of these Welsh players on the Reading team making such a great play happen. It was awesome. It was beautiful to see. I was watching, and honestly, the game was kind of boring a little bit. And then I had to like do a double take. I was like, wait, did that just happen? So I was like, I was pretty impressed that went down. So way to go, Natasha Harding, or as they say in England, Natasha. it was a great goal. Go check out the highlights. There's this thing called the FA player online. You have to make an account, but it's free. And so if you go on, you can watch like all the English games that are going on, and it's really dope. So check it out, and you can watch the highlights from this game and all the games that we talk about.
Yeah, moving on. My numero tres. My number three hat pick is Beth Mead's goal in the North London Derby that was on November 16th, which also is an eon ago. The North London Derby is Arsenal versus Chelsea. And the whole first half of that game was Chelsea just kind of dominating possession. And so I was like, am I really going to get a hat pick out of this game? Because usually Chelsea's been like, they're really fast paced. They're very physical. There's a lot going on. And this game just
wasn't.
Didn't really have that in the first half. Nope. But the second half, close to the end of the game, Vivian Miedema takes the ball down the left side of the field, kind of from the halfway point, and she gets past Millie Bright, who is the Chelsea defender, also a Lioness on the English national team. She gets around her and then like slots the ball across the goal, kind of at the top of the 6-yard box, and just comes like straight across. And then out of nowhere, Beth Mead comes in and just slide tackles the ball into the goal. It was incredible.
I like to say that it looked like she was on a slip and slide when she was coming in. Such high speed.
She sort of went for it. She said, my whole body's going to get the ball in the goal. And if it doesn't, at least I tried. You know? She really went for it. And I respect it. Also, a Lioness who plays for the English national team. The game ultimately ended in a draw, which sucks for me, the Arsenal fan, because Arsenal gave up a pretty sloppy goal with a deflection from a defender, which was unfortunate. But you know what? It's okay, because after Chelsea dominated in the first half, Arsenal came back with some fight and they really wanted that win. And so they went for it. They only got 1 point at the end of it, but they really went for it. And I respect it. And Jillian, we have notes. And Jillian very lovingly wrote down another great example of exemplary play from folks who represent their national team. And boy, is she right.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy.
Well, yeah, I mean, Vivian Miedema, all-time leading Dutch goal scorer.
Yeah.
And is just dope as hell.
Yeah, she's the top goal scorer for Arsenal right now and also was the top goal scorer in Champions League this past season. She's ridiculous as an attacking player, also providing those assists.
Doing great stuff. And Beth Mead, a Lioness, also a great player.
Yeah.
So it's just really nice to see all that experience in professional play outside of national team play.
Yeah, it really pays off when they're together.
Yes. But I was going to say RIP, but that would have been misleading. RIP to Vivian Miedema's playing time because she has a hip injury.
Yes.
There we go.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. I will say, if you did listen to our last podcast, which you should have because we had some exciting content about the Racing Louisville FC draft, it was also a huge freaking bummer. And we were so sad. And it was not an uplifting podcast, but this one, I think we're going to have a lot more energy and excitement. And so,
despite our start talking about Thanksgiving, it gets better from there. You know,
look, Anna and I we're just really real. So that's what you're going to get sometimes. But overall, a very exciting and uplifting podcast today. Great segue, Jillian. On to the number two. Can you take a breather? I just had some leftovers for lunch, so I'm like borderline in a food coma. So it might get a little slap happy here.
It's definitely going to get slap happy here.
Thank you for your number three, Anna. What a great selection.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so my hat pick number two, going to shift it a little bit, still in England, because that's the only place people are playing that we care about. I'm not picking a particular game or play. I'm picking a person, and her name is Ebony Salmon. What? Okay, so first of all, we must acknowledge that her last name is, in fact, Salmon, like the fish. Yeah.
Like the fish.
Exactly like the fish. And I was afraid the Brits were going to pronounce it like salmon or some shit like that. And they don't. It's salmon. It's pronounced correctly.
Yeah.
So great, great stuff there. So Ebony Salmon, 19 years old, like born in the year 2001. Like,
which baby.
She is a itty bitty baby, but also an incredibly powerful and wonderful player. She plays for Bristol City. Has been captain for the U17 England team, has that experience at the international level for the younger age groups. I want to do a callback. I love a callback.
No good.
The best. So you remember that one goal that Bristol City scored against Manchester City in that 8-1 game the other day that I talked about? You know who scored that one goal?
Tell me.
Ebony Salmon. This past round of games, Bristol City is playing Tottenham Hotspur. They are leading in the first half, and then Tottenham comes up and they're ahead 2-1. And then In stoppage time. We love a stoppage time, Cole.
So much drama.
Gemma Perfield crosses an amazing ball to the top right field. And Salmon gets it around the goalie to tie the game 2-2. And I mean, it was great. Just a powerhouse. And then, in a bitchin' goal against Lewes or Lewis or however you say it, L-E-W-E-S. And sorry so much for not cussing. I'm really good at this. From well outside the 18-yard line. Remember how we were just talking about any goal from outside the 18 is amazing? Well, this was from a good bit outside the 18-yard line. You know who scored that goal? Ebony Salmon!
Oh, yeah, she did.
She just danced in circles around a player and had some incredible footwork. Takes a shot and perfectly places it in the back right. I know directions. Back right net. Look, I am 100% convinced that she is going to be a star. Like, she is already one of the top players for Bristol City, and I think she's just going to keep making her way up in the world. I bet it's just a matter of time before she sees a call up to the Lionesses.
Yeah, and I think that when she does, she's going to be a great addition because they have players that are great attacking players on the Lionesses, like Ellen White. And but I think that Ebony Salmon provides a different kind of power that they don't have, and it's going to be dangerous for those of us who are fans of the U.S. Women's National Team. But also, it's going to make watching those games much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I'm right with it.
Name to watch, player to watch, Ebony Salmon. Hit up the FA player or YouTube. And just
or Add a Football. You can watch it on Add a Football.
There you
APA.
Go.
Football. Listen, I watch a lot of sports. I know where to find it all.
Things I didn't know until just now. But it has been incredible over the past few weeks to just like sort of see her pop up on my radar. You know, it's not like Bristol City is like one of the they're a good team in the WSL, but they're not like the top tier. To see somebody of that caliber coming up in the ranks, it's just, it's very exciting. So that is my number two.
Hell yeah. My number two is a goal from a player that I don't think I've ever talked about her before. My number two is a goal from Tobin Heath. Am I taking another chance to talk about Tobin Heath? You bet your bottom dollar I am. So on November 15th, the Manchester Derby, I'm really just going with the Derby goals, which is Manchester City versus Manchester United. At halftime, Manchester United is down 2-0. Man City is dominating the first half of the game. The second half of the game, you can kind of tell that Manchester United is getting a little frustrated. Heath is kind of chasing down the ball, and you can feel her frustration. You can, like, see it. There's a bad clearance out of the back. Tobin Heath takes advantage. Lucy Bronze bobbles the ball a little bit, and Tobin Heath takes the ball from her. So here's what I like about the fact that Tobin Heath took the ball from Lucy Bronze. It's a list, and I'm going to enumerate it for you now. Number one, Lucy Bronze does not play for Manchester United. She's a Man City defender, so that's hilarious. Number two, that matchup is constantly incredibly physical. And so to have Lucy Bronze get beaten that way, with ultimately the result being a goal, also just a delight. And number three, they both played for University of North Carolina together. So now that Alicia Russo is out with a hamstring injury, we have to get that UNC connection from somewhere. It just so happens that it's from Lucy Bronze. So that was great. But anyway, the goal. The ball gets taken away from Lucy Bronze. She just like bobbles it and like just makes a mess, truly. Tobin Heath just kind of like runs up on the ball and slams it. It's her first touch. Her shot is her first touch on the ball. And she slams the ball so hard that you just like feel all of the anger coming out of her body and going into the goal. It was just beautiful. And then after she runs away, it does look like Tobin Heath might murder someone.
Yes.
Because she's so amped. It's a little scary, but also awesome.
Let's go. It was real intense.
Yes. Tobin Heath's goal is my number two hat pick of this podcast, because I'm just going to take every chance to talk about her. Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Why wouldn't we? Also, when we were deciding what our picks were going to be, I was like, Anna, we should say that Tobin Heath got the assist from Lucy Bronze.
I mean, she did.
She really did. But it's just like a huge slam on Lucy Bronze. As we mentioned in our last podcast, Lucy Bronze is a great player.
Yeah.
But she done messed up this time.
Hell yeah, she did, to the benefit of Tobin Heath. So we'll take it.
We love Tobin Heath, don't we? Currently.
Oh, so much. Currently. Did you hear our last podcast? Oh. We're so fast. She wasn't on our team anymore.
Oh, so many emotions. Don't need to relive that. I am wearing my Tobin Heath jersey today because, as we'll hear soon, the U.S. Women's National Team played this very day. We're getting good at covering soccer things that are happening the day that we record the podcast, or we decide to record the podcast because the things are happening. We're just smart. We're self-smart.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, as is our tradition, perhaps the one tradition that we have held on to
the entire time.
All five episodes. Wow. I mean, pat on the back to us. Sticking around for five episodes. Wow. Confetti.
The whole ding, ding, thing.
Yes. So we have had an honorable mention each time. And Anna, would you like to share our amazing honorable mention for this week?
Boy, would I. So our honorable mention this week is that Megan Rapinoe has a book. Her book, One Life, came out on November 10th. Did I buy it the next day and then read it in 24 hours? Yeah, I freaking did. And let me tell you, first of all, it's a very easy read. It reads like she talks, so that's great. It's so good. She talks about growing up in a conservative, small-ish town, her start in soccer, playing rec, and then moving on to club, and then collegiate, and, you know, kind of moving up that way. And then she talks about her decision to come out and a little bit about her dating history, because she dated Abby Wambach.
Wowzers.
I knew that, but I didn't, like, really process it too much until I read the book. So that's just like a book wild thing. And then she kind of talks about how Sue Bird is different and wonderful for her. And it was just so endearing. And then my favorite part of the entire book, which, okay, well, second to like her activism, you know, that talking about that's good. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But she casually mentions Sue Bird's friend, Diana. And for those of you who don't follow the WNBA the way that I do, which is very intensely, and you don't really know... And you don't really know Sue Bird and, quote, her friend Diana. That's Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi is a three-time WNBA champion. She's the all-time leading scorer in the WNBA. She's a four-time gold medal winner at the Olympics. Diana Taurasi, wow. The goat, the white mamba.
She has a tight little bun, if you don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that's how I know who she is.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi's bun is very famous. But, like, it's just casual. Her friend Diana. Yeah, okay. Cool. Wow. Just very casual.
Also, Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe are now engaged. So yeah, not sure if we celebrated that, but we do love that. We're very excited.
I'm so excited. Just a Washington power couple. You love to see it. Other lovely parts of the book getting past my attention. She talks about how much the U.S. Soccer Federation tried to shut her up when she started kneeling during the national anthem following the death of Colin Kaepernick. So that was very interesting to read from. And then kind of following that, how Jill Ellis, the head coach of the U.S. Women's National Team at the time, tried to freeze her out of the team kind of at the request of the Federation because they didn't want her making trouble. And that's just because Jill Ellis is a weak little piece of crap.
Look.
Yeah, I didn't cuss. I didn't do it.
There you go. But look, we don't love Jill Ellis. Yeah, you know, did the U.S. Women's National Team win two World Cups under her? Yes. Is her name very close to mine? Yes. But we don't love her.
We don't love her. And neither did some of the veteran players on the U.S. Women's National Team because they tried to go to the U.S. Soccer Federation president to oust Jill Ellis. Partially as a response to the fact that they tried to freeze Megan Rapinoe out because they weren't taking a stand against police brutality, which is specifically what was being talked about at the time. They just weren't going to have it with her. And she wasn't managing players' time well. She wasn't managing players like onto the roster very well. There were just like a lot of things that they weren't happy with in terms of how she was managing the team. And she kind of managed the team. And this is something that I think Megan Rapinoe talks about. And obviously, we don't know what's going on in Jill Ellis's mind. Will I continue to shit on her? You bet I will. She did everything out of fear. She followed what the U.S. Soccer Federation wanted from her. She kept people on rosters that didn't need to be there. She cut people from rosters because they were kind of vocal. She did everything out of fear, and that's not the way you win a lot of things. I mean, just because she had good players to work with doesn't mean that she was the reason why they won.
Well, go read the book.
So good. I recommend One Life by Megan Rapinoe.
So excellent. So, this week, drum roll, please. That is exactly what a drum sounds like. Do not look that up on YouTube.
I've just gotten a sound from YouTube to have a drum roll.
You think I have that kind of time? Actually, I do, probably. I had this whole week off, so I do have that kind of time. Regardless, our number one hat pick from Tennessee, my southern roots are coming out. Our number one hat pick this week, our hat pick and topic this week, the U.S. Women's National Team international friendly win versus the Netherlands that just wrapped up a little over an hour ago. What's up? It was awesome.
We are so topical.
Whew. Man, it was great. It was so great. Anna and I were texting each other, filling in stuff on the dock while watching. It was a great game. We are seeing some real familiar faces, some new faces. This was a matchup. So if you don't know, really, again, trying to make soccer accessible for those of you who are far too kind and listen to this and don't know what the heck we're talking about.
We love you.
We love you so much. So in the summer of 2019 in France, as we've mentioned, in France, the Women's World Cup took place. It was so great. Good. Summer of 2019. Pretty sure it was July something or other. The Women's World Cup championship game. The United States Women's National Team versus the Netherlands. The U.S. wins 2-0 from a penalty kick from Megan Rapinoe and a nice shot from Rose Lavelle. Boom, baby. Crushed it. We win. Confetti. It's amazing.
So much confetti.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot. It's like big confetti, too. Oh, so much. So much
Budweiser. So much Budweiser.
So this is a rematch of that game, which is very exciting. And the U.S. delivered. It's really great. It's so great to have this team back in action again because, as they mentioned, Sebastian Salazar and Julie Foudy, who are the announcers for this game, it has been 261 days since this team played last on the international stage, and it's the equivalent of like 8.5 months, so it's been a really long time. So we're really glad to see them back in action.
So excited. We just missed fast-paced, high-quality soccer from women. And that's not to say that we haven't been watching some incredible games, but international play is definitely different.
And you're taking the best of the best and you're putting them together on one team. And that, you know, not that there aren't really, really wonderful people playing on the NWSL teams, on the WSL teams, in the Women's Champions League. You know, there's lots of great people playing, but if you took the best person from all of those teams and said, hi, come play on a team together, it's going to be different and it's going to be really great. So
That's
the kind of stuff we're seeing. It was actually interesting. They were talking about it, that the She Believes Cup, which is an invitational tournament held here in the United States every year since 2016. This was the fifth annual. Was the last time that the U.S. Women's National Team played together in a match. And that was like, they were literally playing the championship game like a day before people went into lockdown in the United States.
Yep. They had announced the travel ban during the broadcast of that game.
Wow. Very excited to be back very safely. No fans.
Zero.
Zero fans.
So before the game, if you follow the U.S. Women's National Team, both the players and the actual U.S. Women's National Team social media accounts, they decided to, on not like their normal warm-ups, but like a special warm-up jacket that they had, to have a unified Black Lives Matter message. So their warm-up jacket said Black Lives Matter on the front. A number of them chose to kneel during the national anthem. And the individual players, as well as the U.S. Women's National Team Player Association, posted a unified message on their individual and collective social media accounts, which was so good to see. The message that they posted was, we love our country, and it is a true honor to represent America. It is also our duty to demand that the liberties and freedoms that our country was founded on extend to everyone. Today, we wear Black Lives Matter to affirm human decency. We protest against racial injustice and police brutality against Black people. We protest against the racist infrastructures that do not provide equal opportunity for Black and Brown people to fulfill their dreams, including playing on this team. As the United States Women's National Team players, we collectively work toward a society where the American ideals are upheld and Black lives are no longer systematically targeted. Black Lives Matter. And then they put the U.S. Women's National Team players, USA versus Netherlands, November 27th, 2020.
which is just a really big deal all around. And we can attribute that in large part to the shift that happened over the summer with the death of George Floyd. I think that there have been a lot of people who have finally been acknowledging, perhaps for public opinion, perhaps because they're actually recognizing the injustices that exist in this country. But this is sort of happening on a level that we haven't seen before in sports. And, you know, where Anna mentioned that Megan Rapinoe was like getting shat on for kneeling when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. Now you can have the vast majority of people on this team kneeling, and they are backed by the team, by U.S. soccer.
Well, sports in general, it's become more acceptable. Mm-hmm. So you saw it with the WNBA, who has been making stance against racial injustice and inequity for a long, long time. And without the women in the players in the WNBA, the kind of protests that we see and the kind of statements that we're seeing in sport would not be possible. They really paved the way for that, as we saw in the NBA this season. And now as we saw in the NWSL, and we're even seeing in Premier League soccer and WSL soccer, we're seeing it all across the board in sports. And now to have it at an international level, and it's not just Megan Rapinoe kneeling.
Right.
I think it's very powerful to see that players finally, and it's unfortunate because they finally feel comfortable. They finally don't feel like their position on the team is threatened. They don't feel like they could be shunned. They feel like they have the space to do that, which is not awesome. But the more people that do that, the more people listen.
It's just really great to see. And I'm pretty sure that I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but then cut it out in editing. The Black players in the NWSL have started a social media account called the Black Players Collective. So definitely something to check out if this is a topic that interests you, fighting against racial inequity and how that kind of comes up in sports and how Black players are affected. That is a great account to follow just to see some great Black players highlighted and hearing them speak, you know, straight from the source.
Especially if you're a white person.
Yes. Like us.
To hear what Black players think and feel when they have decided to put those words out there, not that we have asked them to.
Right. So. And just really excited to see this coming at the international level. Hope we see more of it. Even more so, hope we see some change.
Boy, howdy.
Yes. So I think at this moment, we will dive into the game.
So I would just like to start going into this game by the first thing that I wrote down, which was, we're back. Oh my God, I miss this so much. So I feel like you really know where we're coming at this game from.
Yes. I concur with this messaging.
Yeah.
So, lineup, as could be expected. Well, we do have some new faces that called up for this camp and this particular friendly. We have 9 of the 11 players who played in the World Cup final starting pretty much in their same positions. We have Alyssa Narinkel, Kelly O'Hara, Abby Dahlkemper, Becky Sauerbrunn, Crystal Dunn on the back line. Then in our midfield, we have Ertz, that being Julie Ertz, Rose Lavelle, Sammy Mewis, and then up front, this is where we see our changes. We have Lynn Williams, Kristen Press, and Tobin Heath. What a squad. What a squad.
Top quality.
So great. And now I'm going to be unkind and make Anna tell you the Dutch lineup because I can't pronounce any of their names.
I can say some of them. So the Dutch starting lineup has the majority of the same players that we saw in the final. There are a few changes, some from injury, just some from shifting. So in goal, we have Van Veenendaal. We have Wilms, Nouwen, Jansen, Van Dongen, those are the back line. In the midfield, we have Jackie Gronin, Fitza, Daniela van de Donk. And then up front, we have Bierenstein, who does have the best name I've ever heard, Jill Roard and Lika Martin. I think the biggest change from this lineup that I think is the most critical was that the Netherlands did not have Vivian Miedema. She has a hip injury, so she wasn't able to play. And I think that is their biggest missing link because she is their top striker, bar none. At the top of the game, kind of my notes go down to like the first 10 minutes. The U.S. started strong. We had some good chances. A second minute chance with a cross from Tobin Heath, which just missed the goal. Later on, there was a set piece in the 7th minute after a foul. Heath took that, but it was cleared. Another chance for press in the 9th minute. It was like a very quick, we are going to go, we are going to score a goal, try and stop us.
You know, and they were talking a lot about how that this team is not 90 minutes fit because, again, 8.5 months, 261 days have not seen this level of play. But right off the bat, you see the same type of like American press that we're used to, the same kind of pressure. So it was really hard to tell, and especially in those first 10 minutes, like, are we going to see, are they going to come off as like weak? Are they going to be breathing heavy? But they were doing their thing.
Hell no, they're not. We start seeing after that kind of frustrated the Netherlands team. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh no, we have to fight back. And the most physical player on that team is Danielle van de Donk. She's physical not only on the Dutch team, but she plays for Arsenal. She's also very physical there. And we see it throughout the game, but it really starts with a very hard challenge against Julie Ertz. The thing about Danielle van de Donk, and usually physical play like that, it gets kind of irritating as a fan after a while because you're like, can you stop trying to hurt the players? But Danielle van de Donk dishes it as much as she takes it.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of respect for the way that she is physical on the field.
100%. And another callback because we love them. Because we love them. So I think it might have been in our first or second episode. We have so many now that I've lost count.
A total of 5. Count them.
We talk about sort of the stereotype of black players being fast and how so often commentators only talk about black players' speed. We'll probably mention this a couple of times within the scope of this game. But we did appreciate Julie Foudy. We love her. We love Julie Foudy. Okay. She's amazing.
Great.
Used to play for the U.S. Women's National Team, now is commentator.
99er.
All-around queen. A 99er is somebody who played in the 1999 Women's World Cup, where the U.S. Women's National Team beat China in penalty kicks. Brandi Chastain took off her shirt, the whole sports bra incident. You've probably seen it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they put a statue up of her at the Rose Bowl. So, Julie Foudy, she talks about Lynn Williams' speed in this because Lynn Williams is fast. Like, there is no denying it, but she does actually talk about how that's not the only aspect of what makes her a good attacking player, and we're very appreciative of that. However, Lynn Williams really did not do herself any favors in this game. She did well. She had so many great opportunities, but she also missed most of those opportunities throughout the game. You know, she has fought and clawed her way to be a member of this national team, and she deserves it. She deserves to be here. She has done well, but today she just kept missing some opportunities, and that was a little frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it was rough, especially because I think part of it is that she hasn't had a lot of international play. In the She Believes Cup, she didn't get like the most minutes, and I think had she been on the roster for the 2019 World Cup, we would see a lot more technical abilities from her, which is kind of where she lacks. But we didn't, because Jill Ellis wanted experience, and so we got frickin' Morgan Bryan instead. Sorry, Morgan Gautreaux.
Yeah. I think, honestly, Lynn Williams would have been a much better pick than Morgan Bryan for that. Yeah. Morgan Gautreaux, whatever. Would have been a much better pick for that team, and we probably would have seen her skill advanced even further. Great player. Sad that we saw some missed opportunities from her today. As you can see, like, this first 15 minutes of the game is all the U.S. And so Alyssa Nair doesn't even see action until like the 14th minute of the game, which is probably gets a little boring back there.
Yeah, and even after the 14th minute, she didn't see a ton of action until the last like 10.
Yeah. Game goes on. Seeing a good strike from Lynn Williams, but it is too high. That happens a lot this game. Some too high strikes. But I have this hot take.
Hot take from Jillian.
Hot take from Jillian. I should have like a little jingle that goes with that.
We should.
So I'm just watching this game and realizing and watching Sam Mewis play in the midfield and just being great all over the field, essentially. And I really think that Sam Mewis, you know, we're talking about, oh, not 90 minutes fit, not so good. Everybody's kind of like struggling. I think that Sam Mewis has gotten better in 2020. I think that playing with Manchester City has made her a better player. And I think that my podmate, Anna, would agree with that.
I do indeed agree with that. And my hot take is that the playing with the North Carolina Courage doesn't make her a better player. Because Paul Riley isn't the freaking bee's knees like everyone seems to think. The underdog mentality that he brings doesn't lead to growth in players. It leads them to get to a point where they feel scrappy and they're constantly winning, yes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're growing, because I think that kind of gets in your head in a way that's not necessarily beneficial for development and growth.
Yeah.
I don't like Paul Riley, and I think that's the reason why I really don't like North Carolina. Not because they win and not because they're just a very good team. I don't like the way Paul Riley coaches. And I think Sam Mewis being under a new coach has been very good for her.
So good. And if you look at any of the highlights from the Manchester City games, I mean, she's been getting starts. And not only has she been getting starts, she's been making plays and doing well. She's been getting goals. I'm so proud of her. She, I know, is desperately seeking my approval. But I am it just is really great to see, because she has always been a strong player. But just to see this kind of level of finesse being put on the work that she's doing is just, it's wonderful. And I was excited to see that on the field today.
Yeah, it was a delight. You know what else was a delight? Seeing Tobin Heath run.
It was. I bet she was real tired, but she did run a lot.
My note is literally, this is the most I think I've ever seen Tobin run. I think in part it was because she was taking the free kicks and the corner kicks, so she always had to be somewhere new. But also, there was a point where the ball was on the opposite side of the field of where she started, and she was over there with it. And I was like, wait, weren't you playing on the left side? Why? What are you doing on the right? Why is Julie Ertz? And we know the team moves a lot. They're a very fluid team. But I was like, wait, where did she go? She ran somewhere?
What? How did you get over there so fast?
I didn't even do that.
Tobin Heath can run. She doesn't like to. She just chooses not to. But today she chose to.
Not that we know that for a fact. We've just decided for her.
This is what we have inferred based on the empirical evidence that we have collected by watching soccer at length. But at this point, with, you know, Tobin running all over the place on the field, Becky Sauerbrunn always being where she needs to be, clearing the ball aside, we believe that her power braid should be in the Hall of Fame. She is amazing, and so is her braid.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
She, when she retires, it's going to be a huge loss for the U.S. Women's National Team backline. She is a true captain, really leads that team. The U.S. is basically dominating possession. They're doing a great job. And we're seeing some opportunities up front. But one of the things that Julie Foudy brings up and that we agree is that some of these players are putting too many touches on the ball. Foudy said they could have been a little bit more unselfish. And that is a great take, because players like Tobin Heath, others are up there with a beautiful opportunity in front of them. And as a good player, trying to share the love and share the wealth and passing the ball. But honestly, at times, if you've got an opportunity, take the opportunity. It was like, oh, that would have been a great goal, but you passed it to somebody and then they fumbled it, or it just wasn't as good of a shot. Great opportunities in the first half. A little too unselfish.
Yeah, definitely too unselfish. And given the fact that the Dutch national team was doing so much in the way of defending, they needed to be a little more unselfish. So after that, Kelly O'Hara did a lovely nutmeg on, I think it was Lisa Martins or maybe Danielle Van de Donk. And it was beautiful. And they called it, the commentators, I think it was Sebastian Salazar, called it a classy Meg. And then shortly thereafter, they were talking about banging goals. And so we have decided that the title of this week's podcast, because apparently we do titles now, is Banging Goals and Classy Megs. So Julian, banging goals and classy Megs.
When I upload this podcast, I will, in fact, add that to the title. Episode 5. We got to do something special. Got to celebrate.
Yeah. It's a milestone.
And another fun thing that they said, there was this really, it was a great chance for press with like a back heel from Heath towards getting close to the end of the first half. And they called it a cheeky little back flick. And I enjoyed that a lot. they had some good one-liners today. The commentators did.
So 42nd minute. We've been waiting this entire half. The U.S. has been dominating. The 42nd minute, we finally get a goal. There is a great ball from Press to Rose Lavelle. Kristen Press saw Rose Lavelle running and just delivered a beautiful pass. Rose Lavelle takes a little cut at the top of the 18th to put the ball on her left foot and then just shoots a missile into the upper 90. And I'm sorry, Van Beenendaal did not have a chance. She tried, and we appreciate the effort, but it just soared straight past her into the upper 90, and it was incredible. So good.
It was great. And as I mentioned earlier, Rose Lavelle got the sort of the seal of the deal for the U.S. Women's National Team in the World Cup final. And this Rose Lavelle cuts like a beautiful pair of scissors. I mean, it's just, she's great. And she did a similar cut in a way that she did to score the goal in that final. And I feel like this was just her saying, I may have a hamstring injury and I may not be able to play this full game, but I'm here. And
I'm doing it.
And I'm going to score and show you guys who's boss. That wasn't just a fluke back in 2019. Like, Rose Lavelle is here to stay. And I agree, Rose Lavelle is here to stay. She is.
She's so technically sound. Mm-hmm. Her touches on the ball are so quick and simple, but effective. I think that shows with that little cut at the top of the 18th. She knows exactly where the ball needs to be in relation to her body and in relation to other people's bodies. And she does it so well. She has the right vision and she has the right technical skills to be so, so dangerous, particularly against these top teams. The Netherlands is the number 4 ranking team in the FIFA rankings. And so she's able to do these things against these top quality teams and she's unstoppable.
Definitely. And blah, 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 some other stuff happens. But then after halftime, we see the return. We're just always talking about the return of Alex Morgan, baby horse.
Baby horse is back.
We love it. We love it. And Kristen presses out, which we were disappointed to see. Very glad to see Morgan back on the field. It was very exciting. And then, you know, we're watching the second half go on. Nothing particularly different or exciting is happening. I mean, it's a good game, but there's not a thrill to the game.
No. There are chances from both teams. We're moving forward. Time is passing. And then
I was like typing on the Google Doc at the same time so we could like see what the other person was typing. And I was like, I really hope we see Kristy Mewis. And then Kristy Mewis gets subbed on. Oh, I'm so excited because she's on the pitch with her sister. It was just amazing. And I said that I spoke it into existence. And Anna.
The two Mewises, the Mewi.
Which is great. And we're keeping it trademark.
The Mewi.
So that was just, it was great. She came on for Rose Lavelle. As you may know from our previous pods, we're very excited about Kristy Mewis, not just being called up to the U.S. Women's National Team, but her play in 2020 for the Houston Dash has been exceptional. She has been at the top of her game this year, which is why she got this call up. We're just very excited. Glad to see that she was on the field.
Yeah, and as the game progressed, we see more chances. The Dutch actually sub on Vanda Sanden, who is an incredible player. She plays for Olympic Lyon, and I think she actually just got traded to Wolfsburg. I'm confident she just got traded to Wolfsburg. Look it up. Fact check me. I'm right.
Anyway. Email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and tell me that I'm right, because I am. She gets subbed on, which I think is a much-needed boost for the Dutch team. She has a lot of energy. She's very physical. She's not afraid to kind of do anything on the pitch. She's technically sound. She was playing for Olympic Lyon and she won a Champions League with them. And she's actually won, I think, multiple Champions Leagues with them. She's a very good player. And I think that that kind of boosted their confidence a little bit, because shortly after that, they start to play with a little more energy.
But it doesn't really matter, because in the 70th minute, Kristy Mewis scores. Oh my God. It was so exciting. Anna and I both audibly screamed and scared the either person or cat that was near us.
Yeah.
And it was a great ball from Lynn Williams. So shout out to Lynn Williams for this. And which I think this is just so great, because like Kristy Mewis actually subbed on for Rose Lavelle. So that position was a lucky position today. But we have a great ball from Lynn Williams and Kristy Mewis is coming up the left side of the field. And then just, you know, it's passing defenders and then just gets a great shot off, gets it into the back right net. And it was beautiful. And you could tell that she was so excited. And Sam Mewis was the first person to greet her on the field. It was so exciting. So cute. And I just like, I was here for it, because like
the return of the Mewi.
Because Kristy Mewis hasn't played on the national team in a game in like 6 years or something. And so to see a return like that and to see that pay off, all her hard work coming to a head, being called up to this team and then getting a goal within the first few minutes of getting subbed on, it was beautiful and awesome. And we were so excited for her.
So loudly excited.
Very.
So after that goal, the Dutch defense kind of realizes that they need to step it up, and they really start smothering Heath anytime she's moving down the left side of the field. They give her no room to move. There's a time when they like triple teamed her. They were just like, you will not cross the ball, so help me God. And so they really tried to shut Heath down, which worked out because shortly thereafter, she got subbed. So here's the trajectory of the substitutes for the U.S. Women's National Team for the rest of the game. And I will read this to you as we have written it here, because I feel like you can't fully understand the way that Julia and I talk about soccer if I don't read things verbatim. So we start with Emily Sonnick is subbed on. So I wrote, Emily Sonnick, I love this. And then Sophia Smith is getting subbed on. So I wrote, Sophia Smith, I love this more. And then Midge Purse was getting subbed on. And then I wrote, Midge Purse, I love this even more. And Jillian, who was reading this in real time, then wrote, yes!
It was great. It's just like, boom, boom, boom. They get six subs in these friendlies. So we were really wondering, like, what unfamiliar faces Vlatko Andonovski was going to put on. Because I think that part of this game and these particular call-ups for this camp and this game were him trying to widen the breadth of an already incredibly deep and talented bench. And so we're just seeing that in these players coming on. We were so excited. It was great. And one of the things that we were talking about is that the Dutch players haven't seen some of these players. They haven't seen Purse or Smith or Christy Mewis before this game. And so just to see them in action, and they are all very talented players in their own right. Great additions to this team and to this match. It was awesome. But you know what was not awesome? Was the fact that the Netherlands, like, this isn't even the end of the game. At this point in the game, which is probably close to, like, the 75th, 80th minute, towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
The United States had 13 shots on goal, and the Netherlands had zero. Zero. Yikes. Yikes. It was, and Julie Foudy was like, this is what the U.S. looks like after 8.5 months? They're going to be unstoppable. And you know what? I'm so excited about it. I'm so freaking excited.
The depth of this team, and I mean, in all fairness, we do have our kind of top players still playing in the WSL. So we have Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, Alex Morgan, Samantha Mewis, Rose Lavelle. Our top attacking players are all still playing. So we do have that advantage. However... The Dutch team, they are all also still playing. They are all also still playing. And so the fact that they were so far behind what the U.S. Women's National Team was doing was unfortunate.
It was not great.
We can move on to Alex Morgan.
Yes.
Who got subbed in the second half. Isn't anywhere near her peak playing condition, and she was still very good. But we've seen her play better. And I think she will get better. I mean, she's only been training since she moved to Tottenham, close to the beginning of the WSL season. And she's still got so much more to go, but she just is already in a form that put some of the Dutch players to shame.
Yeah, definitely. She had some really nice clearances from the back, was doing well up front, even had an opportunity that was taken away later on by a bummer of an offsides call, which we saw a lot of in this game. There's so many that were just too close, but she was offside by a baby horse leg. It was just creeping right over the line. And one of the things that we were just kind of like, question mark, literally.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned earlier, Alyssa Nair wasn't seeing a lot of action, but we see in the 88th minute, Roard has a great chance and then was immediately taken out of the game, which just was like an incredibly like what decision. I mean, obviously, like, the Dutch head coach was not there today. However, she's like pretty much the only person on that team with like successful shots somewhere in the vicinity of the goal. So it was a very questionable decision to take her out after that.
It was kind of like they had already planned their subs and were going to stick with that no matter what, which I don't think did them any favors. I understand that all those players are still playing in their respective leagues, and so you don't want to potentially injure them. You don't want to run any kind of unnecessary risk. But one, we're in the 88th minute. There's no more than, I don't know, maybe 7 minutes more that they could possibly be playing. Really, you've already put her at risk for playing most of the entire game. So you might as well keep her in the game as one of the only players who's doing anything offensively for you.
So we have our final sub come in the 89th minute, Jaylen Howell for Sam Mewis. She actually replaced Lindsay Horan on the roster because Lindsay Horan tested positive for COVID-19, which is a huge bummer. But I will say, like, Lindsay Horan is one of the greatest players in the world. But this team is on fire. And to, spoiler alert, they win. The U.S. wins. To see this kind of play from the United States after this huge break, it's just very clear that the United States women's national team is still way better than everybody else. It was just so clear. And so, you know, it was great to see some of these new players come on, like Jalen Howell. But Lindsey Horan, who would have just made them crush even harder, was not particularly missed, I don't think, in this.
No, I think that the dynamic that Lindsey Horan brings to the pitch is that of a Julie Ertz. Very physical, except she's the offense of Julie Ertz. Julie Ertz is a defensive midfielder, whereas Lindsey Horan is an offensive midfielder, but they're both the same kind of physical. So I think in a game against a team that we weren't sure exactly how it was going to go because they were our last big competition, I don't think Lindsey Horan would have seen minutes in the second half anyway. Mm-hmm. Because they would have wanted a defensive player there. We didn't need her. It would have been nice to have her, but we didn't need her.
I'm glad we did get to see the breadth and depth of U.S. players come on. Sophia Smith did very well in this. Emily Sonnet did well. Mitch Purse did well. Clearly Christy Mewis did. I mean, just seeing these subs come on, get a few touches, even get a goal, was great. And I think it just means that it's going to be that much harder for Vlatko and Danowski to make a decision about who's going to go to the Olympics next summer if we do, in fact, have an Olympics.
Yeah, because that's only 18 players. Even after this huge break and all the time off, the USA is still so much better than everybody else. Choosing those 18 players is going to be very, very, very difficult.
Incredibly. Super excited to get to watch our team play and dominate.
We missed them so much.
Really did. Really, really did. One thing that the players requested last summer after the US Women's National Team popularity spiked even more than it already had, was for people to like support these players when they're playing on their club teams, not just in international play like this. And so, I mean, obviously we're doing that at the request of these players. Go us. You know, we hope that's something we encourage you to do too, because like people are way more familiar with US Women's National Team than they might be with like the NWSL or the WSL or anything like that. If you love watching these players play at this level, go watch them play all the rest of the time too, because they bring something to all the teams that they're on. It's just so great to see them all together because the chemistry that they have as a team, even with these newer players, it's out of this world, y'all.
So good. So good.
So that's our number one and our topic. And oh my gosh, can we talk about this team or what?
Some might call us long-winded. I call us passionate.
That is correct. Cool. Thank you so much for listening this week. We're so glad to be with you. Our landmark fifth episode.
Yeah. And if you want to see more from us, you can follow us on Instagram at HatPigsPod. And if you want to see our tweets, you can follow us on Twitter at HatPigsPod. And if you really want to email us about how much you love us or anything about soccer or, you know, just want to chat with us because you want to be our friend, because I totally get it, you can email us at HatPigsPod@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Anna, for that great plug.
You're welcome.
And thank you, listeners. I feel very confident in making that plural now. Until next time. I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Pigs Podcast.